every day gets a little colder. Drift apart like the earth from the sun. Lift up the cords, woods missing, and hear the sound of branches crashing to the floor. The smoke keeps rising from the forest cold. Feel our hearts move like our ancestors did. Take some time. Hearts move slowly. Dreams take some time. Hearts move slowly. In the spring we'll be singing. We've been dreaming for too long. Catch my fingers as they come down your spine. We'll keep on till the first thaw. Feel our hearts move like our ancestors did. We've been dreaming for too long. Catch my fingers as they come down your spine. We'll keep on till the first thaw. Feel our hearts move like our ancestors did. Feel our hearts move like our ancestors did.
Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and yes, the sound's a little weird today. I hope everyone can hear me all right. So today, you may be listening on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And wherever you're listening from, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being with us today. Today's guest is Dr. Shefali Sabri, and she is a best-selling author in India, and now she's come out with her brand new book, new to North America, The Conscious Parent. It is going to be launching November 3rd in bookstores, but it's also already available online at namastepublishing.com if you're interested in that. And so welcome to the show, Dr. Sabri. Hi.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here again.
Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay, well, that's good. Hopefully it's all working well. So tell me about what inspired you to write the book, The Conscious Parent.
Well, I think my main inspiration was both my own personal journey into parenthood and also through the innumerable families I've worked with, the understanding that, you know, we are trying to fix our children and looking for the solutions in the wrong place. And I was really pulled to notice that unless the spotlight for change is on the parents' internal transformation, then really nothing can shift within the parent-child dynamic. And this was something that I felt was being ignored, both in the therapeutic scene as well as, you know, in the literature out there. And this is when I began to examine how it is that our unconsciousness, the parents' unconsciousness, has such an impact, both positive and quote-unquote negative, if you will, on the child's development, and more importantly, on the dynamic, the relationship between parent and child, and that the parent has so much power to transform and change this relationship, but only and as much or to the extent to which that they are willing to change internally. So what a profound gift for self-growth the parenting journey can become. And I just realized that this was an untapped potential, and that if we could just draw attention to this, then all of us parents could really appreciate the jewels more so than normal in the parent-child relationship.
And so, Dr. Shefali, you know, a lot of parents seem to project onto their children the things that they either experienced as children or the things that they were lacking as children, like parents who push their kids into show business and things like that, and they try to almost live vicariously through their children. How is the conscious parent different than that kind of dynamic?
You know, no, the conscious parent actually talks about that we kind of use our children to become the receptacles and the manifestation of our unmet needs, our unfulfilled fantasies, and we project onto them all the conditioning that we were either, you know, that we either grew up with or all that we felt was missing from our childhood. So in either instance, we are just operating out of a very stale and old and habituated way of thinking. So the conscious parent really tries to draw the parent's attention to the importance of evoking, excavating one's own unconscious baggage, one's own mental conditioning, get to understand it, become aware of it, so that then we can pass on emotional legacies to our children that are truly freeing, that truly allow their spirit to manifest in the way that it was originally intended to. Of course, you know, we have to always contour our children's behavior and bring it in line with their essential being, and this doesn't mean we allow our children to run helter-skelter, but our children do have the right to live out their emotional, spiritual blueprints in the manner that they need them to, and not in the manner that we need them to. And I think this is where our unconsciousness can often create a dysfunctional impact on our children. And we don't even realize we're doing this. It's out of the best intention that we pass on this unconsciousness to our children.
And Dr. Shefali, why is it that we have children? Because so many people, like we were just saying, how they live vicariously, they live out their fantasies. So why is it that we have children? For how spiritually, what is the reason?
You know, I do believe there's a profound spiritual reason, but, you know, just to cover the many reasons we have children, and it's complex and nuanced for every person, of course, but, you know, the biological need, the mental conditioning, the societal conditioning that, you know, married children fall in order, that we feel the press, the thrust, either internally, biologically, or societally to have children, socially to have children. But I think if we don't fully appreciate and become aware of the spiritual purpose behind having children, both in terms of our ability to regenerate ourselves as a human species and purposefully pass on the legacy of love and unconditionality, we hope, to generations coming. The other reason, if we can appreciate, is that our children come to us so that they can then reflect to us, more than any other beings, I believe, how it is we are yet to grow as human beings. You know, it's such an intimate partnership, a dance between parent and child, that we are afforded the opportunity, the invitation, the doorway to transformation, because our children, more than any other being, will be able to show us through their reflection of us how it is we're supposed to grow, how we can contour ourselves, how we can let go of habitual stale patterns and behavioral strategies that are not working, that are just passed down from, you know, the unconsciousness of our ancestors. So it is in this alive, organic, moment-to-moment dynamic with our children that we get to see who it is we really are. Our character is revealed in a way that it often doesn't get revealed, you know, and the force of our ego. You know, in one of the workshops I recently had, I asked people the reason they had children. And many of them said, you know, I had children because I wanted to be a good mother. I had children because I wanted someone to take care of me. I had children because I wanted to feel how it was to be pregnant and have that experience. So in every instant, I was able to show these parents that the I, the ego, the drive to fulfill one's own inner need was paramount in having children. And this was not a judgment necessarily, but just to illumine how it is our ego is so strong when we have children. So when we have this ego, then actually it is precisely here in this relationship that we have the opportunity to dismantle it and step off its pedestal. So what a wonderful opportunity, a spiritual invitation to let go of the ego, to crumble the shackles of the ego, and to really enter into a new space of relatedness with our children and with others.
And Dr. Shefali, now you are a clinical psychologist and a mother, and I'm curious, in your practice and in your experience with clients, what kind of differences do you see in the development of a child who has been raised by a conscious parent versus someone who has been raising their children in the old way that we're used to child rearing?
That's a great question. I think let's start with the parent first. The parent who attempts to raise their children from a mindful place learns to become an individual who is more present with their own being, because our children show us how to be more present and in the moment. So the parent has grown up into an adult who is capable of tolerating emotions in a more profound and mindful way, is able to sit with their own being, is able to touch upon their own sense of generativity and compassion, and contribute to the world in a more meaningful way. So let alone the benefits for the child, already raising one's child in a mindful way has a profound impact and effect on the parent. So already we can become a generation right here, right now, of adults who are more mindful, compassionate, and eager to contribute to a positive and healthy environment for our children. And then the children who grow up with parents who attempt consciousness on a daily basis quite naturally are more attuned to their emotions, more naturally are attuned to their own soul's calling, are at more peace with themselves, because they're not here to fix or heal their parents' wounds. They are here to live their own, and you know, their own destiny, and perhaps create their own wounds in the making, because that's inevitable. But they don't carry that weight of having to fix their parents or having to make their parents happy or please their parents. They're here to really own their own destiny and to live out their own soul's manifestation. So when you have children like that, then quite naturally they are more confident, more resilient, more risk-taking, spontaneous. And, you know, and then, of course, each child temperamentally is different, you know, but at their core, they're more connected. And I think that's the key. They are emotionally attuned and connected to their inner being. They have this source of, you know, inner strength that is undeniable, and that's not going to be easily shaken just because the outer circumstances of life get shaken up. So this is the most powerful gift we can give to our children, that inner connectivity, that sense of inner purpose and calling.
And thank you, Dr. Shefali. And so I'm looking at the table of contents of your book, and because I haven't read it yet, because it's not in stores yet, it is available right now. Is it pre-order on namastepublishing.com?
No, it's you know, it's ready for, it's in stock right now at the website, and there's a great promotional rate being offered, so people should take advantage of that if they like, and that's at the Namaste Publishing website.
Okay, and that's namastepublishing.com. I believe it's on sale for $12.99, but I'm looking at the table of contents here, and Chapter 3 is all about acceptance of your children, and I'd like to take some time and talk about that, because again, it's the ego-based thinking that parents have, and I'm not a parent, so it's difficult for me to kind of get into that mindset. I notice that a lot of kids are growing up with their parents kind of trying to force them to be, you know, in the family business, or they have different ideas and different plans for their child, and maybe the person wants to be an artist or a musician or something just different than the parent's view. And so I'm wondering, why is it, in your opinion, that parents so often aren't able to accept something that's just like, I mean, who cares if they grow up to be an architect, if they want to be an actor, why is it such a big deal to them?
Well, I think, you know, when we have children, we unconsciously, I don't think any of us would dare admit this readily, but unconsciously there's an assumption that they are ours, you know, that they are ours, they are an extension of us. And underlying that, or implicit in that assumption, is the sense of ownership and control. You know, there's this dire and extreme sense of dominance, possession, righteousness, claim, a righteous claim over these beings that we have birthed. So when parents come from this very traditional hierarchical place of I versus you, I'm the owner, you are my possession, and all of this is very, you know, subtle and unconscious. But when we come from this place, then quite naturally we presume that we know how it is our children should live out their destiny. And in the most subtle ways often, we seek to control them. And as conscious as we could be, this still seeps through. It's something that we just have to constantly become aware of and hold in check. You know, the ego just doesn't disappear simply because of our wanting to be conscious. It keeps rearing its head, and one of the most typical ways it rears its head is when we find ourselves unable to let our children live out their potential, their inner manifestation of their soul, in the way that they desire. This doesn't mean, again, to be, you know, out of control and obnoxious, but I'm talking about their core being state. And we have a hard time accepting them. We want them to match and mirror our fantasy so that we can bolster our ego. And that's why in the parent-child relationship, more than any other, we have the opportunity to crumble the ego. But only if we're willing and are willing to accept the invitation that our ego is in operation. You know, many of us parents simply presume that it's not in operation because we love our children. You know, sometimes parents, you know, mistakenly assume love equals an absence of ego. And I often tell parents it's not about love, it's about consciousness of one's ego. And it's very hard for parents to let that go. And, you know, they just feel like their reflection is so mirrored in their child's existence that if their child fails in some way, then it is a direct reflection on them. And then, of course, we have natural parental anxieties about financial, you know, stability and longevity, and we project these as well onto our children. So we tell them that being an actor is too unstable, or being an artist is too temperamental. You have to be, you know, a doctor, a lawyer, a chartered accountant, or, you know, something that we deem to be that give us security. And we then condition our children in the same way.
But Dr. Shefali, when we're talking about the ego, I mean, wouldn't it be more of a benefit to the ego? Wouldn't it feel better to a parent to know, I've raised a happy, healthy child. My child appreciates the way they were raised and is a happy, upstanding person, rather than having the ego desire to have this cookie cutter person?
It should, but the ego, just by its inherent nature, is very attached to the doing aspects of personality. So how we look, how much wealth we have, how big our bank balance is, our zip code. The ego, by definition, is not really interested in the being aspects of health and resilience and, you know, spontaneity and, you know, soul's artistry. The ego, by definition, is extremely attached to the outer accoutrements of life. So, therefore, you know, we are extremely obsessed as parents with the outer elements of our children's being. So, you know, where they go to school, who they marry, you know, how successful they will be. This is paramount for us parents. And unless we hold that in check and understand that all of this obsession is simply a reflection of our own inner anxieties, and because we don't feel safe and secure in our own being, and because we feel like life has been cruel or unkind or is unstable, that we are projecting these assumptions of life and beingness onto our child. But we all do this. You know, this is the society we've unfortunately created, sadly created, but there is still ample opportunity and time to awaken ourselves to a different way of operating, both within our own beings and within our children. In order to teach our children that life is wise and that they can truly have a place in this world no matter what they do in this world, that takes a lot of us parents having to dip into our own surrender that life is to be trusted, that life is safe, secure. So we have to operate from that place. We have to manifest that on a day-to-day basis, and then our children will pick up on that.
Lovely. Well, it's definitely the ideal, something that we could all strive for, at least.
Definitely. It's hard. It's definitely hard for people to do that because they have been conditioned and raised by so much fear and anxiety.
Definitely. All right. Well, it's time for a break. We are speaking with Dr. Shefali Sabri. She is the author of The Conscious Parent. She is a clinical psychologist as well as a mother and a best-selling author in India. Now she's bringing her book, The Conscious Parent, to North America. So this is her, I believe, her second book, correct?
Yes.
Yes,
correct.
Second book, okay. And so we will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. And I want to put out the cue to call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. I have another pair of tickets to see Wayne Dyer, November 23rd here in Vancouver at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. If you would like to snag a pair of tickets, be the first caller right now so I can pick up the phone during the break, 604-822-2487. Back in a flash.
Calling the wild salmon people. First Nations chiefs, fishermen, the mayor of Vancouver, MPs, MLAs, Alexandra Morton, and people like you are traveling through Hell's Gate and down the Fraser River for wild salmon. Join this historic journey as they land at Vanier Park on Monday, October 25th at 9 a.m. and march to the opening of the Sockeye Inquiry to support Justice Cohen in ordering the salmon feedlot disease records. We want the whole truth about what is happening to our salmon. If we want wild salmon, it is up to us. Meet at 9 a.m. in Vanier Park or at 12 noon at the Vancouver Art Gallery. For more information about the walk on Monday morning or for updates on the Paddle for Wild Salmon, visit salmonaresacred.org. That's salmonaresacred.org.
Sudden weakness, trouble speaking, vision problems, severe headache, and dizziness. These are the warning signs of a stroke. It could happen to you or someone you love. The Heart and Stroke Foundation of BC and Yukon is encouraging British Columbians to be aware of the warning signs. Call 911 if you experience sudden weakness, trouble speaking, vision problems, severe headache, or dizziness. For more information, visit www.heartandstroke.bc.ca.
So I am here with... Oh, that was the wrong one. So thank you so much for listening. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And congratulations to Jeff going to see Dr. Wayne Dyer November 23rd at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. And if you didn't get through today for the first caller, I do have a pair of tickets to give away. Well, probably next week I have another pair of tickets. So keep listening every week between now and November 23rd for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dr. Wayne Dyer at the Queen Elizabeth Theater November 23rd. So today, welcome back to the show. We are speaking with Dr. Shefali Sabri, and she is the author of The Conscious Parent. So we're talking about just what does it mean to be a conscious parent? How can we access that consciousness? And welcome back to the show, Dr. Shefali.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And so we've been talking about the ego and how the main reason for most people when they have children, it stems from the ego. And so I'm wondering, how do we get beyond that egoic place when it comes to raising our children?
Well, I think the first step is to become aware of its existence. You know, we cannot be in denial that our children simply emerge and act out of a vacuum. So if we can see the ego, accept the ego, become aware of it when in operation, and be willing then to look within the self and continually ask, well, what egoic need am I trying to make my child fill for me in this moment? What is my egoic attachment to at this moment? What is my resistance to the present moment? Where is it stemming from? And when we begin to ask these questions and turn inward, we create that space for curiosity and growth. But I think it's a hard thing to see. You know, it's easy to say become aware of the ego, but boy, is it hard. It's hard to spot it. It's hard to catch it. The ego is subtle in operation. It's so carefully crafted. It's been tailored over years and years of our existence, and if you want to believe, lifetimes. So, you know, this is not, the ego is not readily seen. It's not naked to the eye. It's extremely disguised, cleverly hidden, and really asks the person to be willing to look at oneself, really curiously, piercingly look at oneself in the mirror. And only then will we begin to see patterns emerging and see the ego in operation, be willing to catch it, preempt it, and one day transcend it. So it does ask for a lot of inner work from the parent, but I believe that parents are ready to take this challenge. I think all of us as parents want to do the best we can for our children, and if we only understood that this really means that we need to do the best for ourselves in terms of our own spiritual elevation, you know, I do believe we will be ready to embrace this challenge. You know, parenting is all about the parent's inner work. And if we get that and really embrace this lesson and take the steps to embark on this journey, only we are going to be the better for it. Our generation is going to benefit right here, right now. You know, people often say, oh, this book will help transform the generation of our future. And I say, well, you know, I don't know about that. I'm not attached to that outcome. What I would hope is that we become more content and enlightened and evolved today. You know, us parents, we adults, have the power to do that if we embrace the lessons inherent in the parenting journey.
And so I'm just wondering, are you okay taking calls if anyone has a question?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so if you would like to get on the air and speak with Dr. Shefali and ask her a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. And before we discuss the book a little bit in more detail, I'm curious about there's some involvement with, first of all, Eckhart Tolle has endorsed this book, but also, tell me about the Dalai Lama's involvement.
Well, I was very blessed to have someone approach His Holiness and ask him if he would kindly grace the book with a preface. And he agreed, and it's my biggest blessing and honor to have both these wonderful individuals bless the book, as well as many others, such as Marianne Williamson and many other people in the field of psychology, authors, Laura Fortgang, who's the author of The Little Book on Meaning. We've been lucky to have these wonderful people support the book and the message. And yes, getting His Holiness's preface was really absolutely, you know, uplifting and wonderful.
Hooray! I'm so excited for you. You must be just thrilled.
I am. It's surreal, as I was telling you earlier.
Well, it is time again for another break, so we will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. We are speaking with Dr. Shefali Sabari. She is the author of The Conscious Parent. If you do have a question for her, then give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
Don't cry.
Rude, but don't cry.
Ah, rude.
brought to you Scenic Drive every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Hey, I'm Wayne Dyer, and you're listening to Synchronicity with Marie Bernard. Here she is.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver or also online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. Thank you so much for being with me today. It's just a pleasure to serve you every week here on CITR, so thank you so much. And we are speaking today with Dr. Shefali Sabari. She is the author of The Conscious Parent. And welcome back to the show, Dr. Shefali.
Thank you so much.
So I'm looking at chapter 6, and it's all about life and how life teaches us life is wise. Can you expand a little bit on that concept?
Well, you know, what I've noticed when working with parents is that our fundamental problem seems to be that we really operate out of a dire state of emergency within ourselves, an acute sense of anxiety. And this anxiety then, of course, gets projected in various ways onto our children, either with an obsession on how they will succeed in life or an obsession on how they will be in this world, how polite they are, how well-mannered, how well they seem to reflect us. So all of this anxiety comes from our assumption, I believe, that life is not to be trusted. And it is when we are unable to understand that each of life's events holds the potential for transformation for us that we then begin to doubt life, that we then begin to have an I versus you stance with life, you know, life against us against life. And this dualistic perspective is created because we don't trust that there are lessons that are embedded in every of life's events that are specifically tailored, really, for our spiritual elevation and growth. So when we are unable to tap into that level of life's gift to us, life's abundance to us, then, of course, life seems crazy to us. Life seems unpredictable because it is. Life seems scary to us because it can be. So when we operate just on, you know, when we interact with life believing it to be just what it is on the surface, then the random quality of life can be extremely overwhelming and engenders this sense of anxiety within us. However, when we can go deeper into life's essential nature, which is, so that we can grow, so that we can extract from it the lessons that are uniquely meant for us to grow, then life is no longer threatening to us. Then we can befriend life. Then there is a mutually reciprocal quality then to our relationship with life. And then life is no longer seen as a dualistic opponent, but now it is a friend on the circular path of growth and transcendence. So the difference being that we no longer operate in our world through a linear perspective, but then we begin to embrace a circular and more non-dualistic perspective. But it all comes from our basic assumptions about life. And if we can begin to understand how life is wise, then every opportunity is here for our growth. And 20 times more is it in the parent-child relationship. Every interaction with our child is here specifically for the awakening of the parental soul.
And now, speaking of life lessons, I'm thinking that there's someone out there who is a parent, and maybe their child is an adult or close to adulthood, and so they've made, every parent, no matter how conscious you are, makes mistakes, but they've made mistakes, and now they're just hearing about conscious parenting for the first time today. Maybe their child is suffering from some kind of mental disturbance due to the mistakes that this parent has made, or maybe they're dealing with addiction or something like that. So what can a parent do now at this juncture where their child is at or close to adulthood? How can they still inject some consciousness into that child's life?
Well, again, like I said, the first step is acknowledgement, is awareness. And just when we begin to understand, oh, all of these years that I've been raising my child, I now get to see that it's all been about the raising of me. even that epiphany, no matter when it comes in one's life, is powerful. It has the power to heal lives and heal wounds. And just by that acknowledgement, you know, parent to child, parent looking into the child's eyes and saying, you know what, it took me 25 years or it took me 10 years or whatever it could be to finally understand where I've been going wrong. And I now release you from this burden. I have now received my lesson. I have now received the gift. And I'm sorry that I was so caught up in my ego, but now I get it. Just that has such power, because we're not meant to be perfect. You know, that's to live under oppression. That's to live under an illusion, to be deluded. So children intuitively understand that we are human just like they are, and that this is a, you know, constant give and take process. It's we parents who stay rigidified in the sense of egoic control, and we don't dip into the mutuality that's inherent in the parent-child relationship. So when our children see us dip into this state, they're ready to embrace us. And is it sometimes too late? I don't believe that. I believe that the parent will have to work a lot harder to get through to one's child. You know, so if one hasn't engaged through authenticity for many, many years, then yes, the teenager may reject the parent, or the teenager may be in a dire state of anxiety, but this just means that the parent will have to work all that much harder. You know, so that's the only difference, but it's never too late. So I don't believe in adopting a resigned approach to consciousness. You know, it's not a now or never prophecy. It's something that we can really, truly cultivate on a moment-to-moment basis, no matter where or how old one's child is or where one is in the parenting process. But be willing to then work hard. You know, the longer the wounds have been buried, the longer it will take to excavate. So one just has to accept that and appreciate that it'll take a long time.
Thank you, Dr. Shefali. And again, if you would like to get on the air and ask Dr. Shefali a question, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Dr. Shefali is a clinical psychologist and author of The Conscious Parent. And so if you have a question about parenting and specifically conscious parenting, give us a call right now, 604-822-2487. So Dr. Shefali, Chapter 8 in your book is all about school and education, and what happens to a parent when they send their child off to school? It's you see parents experiencing this fear of letting their child go into the world, and where do you think that stems from?
Well, you know, part of it is
the ego, right?
is the ego, but also part of it is a well-placed concern, because often the education system falls short of conscious principles. You know, the education system further bolsters the egoic desires and needs of society and projects that onto the child. So we have teachers who are pushing children, teachers who are putting them all in one box, you know, conditioning them that their sense of worth is tied into their letter grade. So, yes, it is a well-placed concern to have as conscious parents, that you know, the school system will further bolster the sense of ego that I'm trying to crumble at home. But having said that, this is the society we live in right now. So our job as parents is not to bemoan reality, but to understand reality wherever it comes from. Understand that our children will fall prey to all sorts of influences, more conscious than us, less conscious than us. And reality is what reality is, and now it's up to us to do our best, whatever is in our little, you know, pocket of control, to help our children understand that they are essentially these spirited beings who have the capacity and capability to manifest who it is they are, no matter what society tells them. So, you know, we can't begrudge society or the education system or anyone on the outside environment. We have to just take ownership of the control we have and keep passing on the message and sowing the seeds of consciousness. And this in itself has great power. You know, I see many parents throw up their arms in resignment because they just can't combat the education system. But that's, I don't believe that is a proactive stance, because we have a lot of power. We parents have a lot of power. If we truly understood the spiritual nature of this power, we could work wonders with our children.
And Dr. Shefali, what about high school? Now, even for the most conscious teen. I would imagine high school is still very challenging. So what are you seeing? Let's compare a child who's raised from by unconscious parents compared to a child who is raised by conscious parents. What is their high school experience going to be like?
Oh, goodness. You know, of course, the flowering of one's consciousness emerges in different ways for every adolescent or every adult. But I believe the seeds of that flower, I would hope, would include, you know, a true experimentation, because this is the age to experiment, but an experimentation that comes and emerges from a true inner calling. So having said that, this doesn't mean your child or one's child, no matter how conscious or unconscious, you know, will fall on some sort of perfect position on the spectrum of order and discipline. The conscious child could still be the most rebellious or defiant, but will be operating in this defiance from a different place, I believe, than the unconsciously raised child. So what I'm trying to communicate is a subtle difference. What I'm trying to stay away from is the idea that the conscious child is suddenly going to be this angel, this person who will never smoke pot or will never, you know, God forbid, you know, take one drink too many. This is not about the behavioral manifestations of the inner being. This is about the inner connectivity to one's inner being. So this is what I'm invested in. You know, all teenagers are going to make mistakes, no matter how conscious, no matter how unconscious. They're going to do foolish things. They're going to be defiant in the wrong ways. They're going to break rules. This is just the nature of humanity, of childhood in particular. But what a conscious teenager would do, I hope, is operate and base his or her reactions from an inner calling and understand the natural consequences of his or her actions, take ownership of that, show emotional maturity, and truly embrace the spiritual lessons involved in all his or her mistakes. So this is the attunement, this is the education that a conscious parent passes on to their children, not necessarily keeping them out of, you know, all sorts of trouble, but instead teaching them how to navigate their teenage years, how to voice their inner being, how to manifest it, and how to transform those mistakes into spiritual gold. You know, so mistakes are inevitable. This is not about perfection. This is about understanding how to navigate one's inner being and answer the calling that comes from a deep place.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that all children have these developmental milestones that they go through, the terrible twos, the teens where they are just a pain, and whether they're conscious or not. But it's those subtle differences that, I mean, really, they're subtle, but they create such lasting and huge change in within the person, and as well as in the outward world, how they project themselves onto the world and interact with other people.
Absolutely. You know, so we cannot... Marie, do you need to go? I just heard a beep.
No.
Okay. So we can't presume that just because we are doing such a fantastic job, because now we've become quote-unquote conscious, that our children will now suddenly become perfect angels. Again, we can't get invested in that, because when we get invested in their being states or their doing states, again, we are inserting our ego onto them. So we have to be very careful again of how it is that we control our desire for a perfect outcome within our children just because now we have become conscious. You know, our duty to our children is that we evolve into the most conscious we can be, but then detach from the desire or the need to control how conscious they become. Right? So you see the subtle difference, because parents automatically presume I'll be conscious and now I want to see that my child operates in a conscious way that fits my fantasy. We can't dictate how our child will operate in the world more than the basics of respect and safety and dignity. We can't determine if they will grow up to be monks or lamas or enlightened beings. We cannot be invested in that. We have to become conscious for our spiritual obligation to ourselves and to our children to answer that, and only that. We can't attach to then how our children and the degree to which they will become conscious.
And so, Dr. Shefali, I'm curious, we were just talking about high school and education, and what about, what advice do you have for someone who might be an educator, a teacher, listening to this show right now?
Well, what I would ask teachers, just as I ask parents, to do is to really understand that the best education we can give our children, the most profound, long-lasting education we can give our children, is that they not base their self-esteem on how it is their intellect operates in the world. Their self-esteem needs to emerge from a deep place of inner connectivity. So I would beseech the education system, the teachers in particular, to begin to pay attention to the emotional literacy, the emotional language in the classroom, to make children aware of how it is that they are emotionally operating in the world and to emotionally connect to each other. You know, there's so much focus on the intellectual development in the classrooms, and there is place for this, I believe, in the world, but it cannot be the only thing we focus on in the school system. There needs to be an equal, if not greater, focus on the emotional, spiritual, personal, creative development of the child. You know, we are not focusing on the holistic development of the child unless we focus on the deep emotional, spiritual aspects of the personality. And if we do this, then we will have great conflict resolution in the schools. We will have less bullying. We will have less teenage suicide. We will have, you know, less fear and anxiety. So this is what I would ask teachers to begin focusing on in the classrooms.
Lovely. And it's time for another break, so we will be back with more of this discussion in a moment. And I would like to, after the break, talk about the role of the mother. So we are speaking with Dr. Shefali Sabri. Right now she is the author of The Conscious Parent, and the book is coming out in stores on November 3rd. It's also available online right now at namastepublishing.com if you're interested in reading this groundbreaking book, The Conscious Parent. NamastePublishing.com is where you can order it, or wait until November 3rd when you can pick it up at bookstores all over the place. So we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
The AMS Speakeasy provides information, peer counseling, and crisis support to the UBC community. Speakeasy volunteers are carefully chosen and trained to assist students in dealing with a wide range of issues, including relationship breakups, substance abuse, sexuality, and exam stress. To access our service for information or counseling, drop in to visit our desk on the north side of the sub-concourse. All drop-ins and call-ins are strictly confidential. We also have an online email referral service. If we can't help you, we can refer you to someone who can.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with me today. And thank you to Dr. Shefali. She is here to talk about her book, The Conscious Parent. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Shefali.
Thanks, Marie.
Thank you. And so let's talk about the role of the mother.
Yeah, it's a deeply transformational journey that the mother goes through in particular. You know, both parents undergo so much change and metamorphosis upon becoming a parent, but I do believe the mother, because of her unique biological connection to the child, or even in the case of adoptive parents, that the mother holds a different sort of connection with the child. And society places that onto the mother, as well as the mother, you know, asking for it herself. Especially in those cases where the child has been biologically birthed, the mother goes through tremendous hormonal, physiological, psychological changes. Her identity, you know, now no longer can just hold just herself in its center, at its center, but now instead holds this other person. And this is a huge transformation. You know, no longer can she think of the I Now it's suddenly become a we. And because society places a certain different expectations on the mother, very particular expectations on the mother, mothers often have to now negotiate their own sense of identity with that of their children. You know, fathers don't go through this as much as mothers do. You know, mothers often have to reconcile careers versus their child's upbringing. They feel guilt about this. They feel tremendous pressure to be the image, to meet the image of the perfect mother. So there are all sorts of psychological connotations for the particular role of the mother, much more than that for the father. So I think women in particular have a greater challenge in front of them to find their consciousness, to find who it is they are in the quagmire of parenting, and, you know, stay true to their own self and yet be really present for their children. What a challenge indeed, especially in today's world where they, you know, finances are getting harder and harder and women have to work full-time as well as cater to the duties of the house and the children when they return home. So it's a tremendous burden on parents and especially mothers. So, yeah, there's a unique role for the mothers, but there is in conjunction with the challenges, an even greater opportunity for spiritual birthing, because through these challenges, the mother gets to see the entanglements of her own ego much more closely than the father gets to see. And precisely because she gets to see it, she has the opportunity to let go of it. So greater spiritual opportunities abound for the mother, if that's a consolation for the mothers out there.
And Dr. Shefali, I'm curious, now obviously the book, The Conscious Parent, is all about the growth that parents go through and what they can learn from their child as they develop as a parent. But I'm wondering, are there some things that people should have kind of lined up in their life, taken care of, cleared before they venture into the role of being a parent?
Sure. You know, they can appreciate and understand the tremendous challenges that parenting will bring about. But again, it's very hard to prepare for this fully. You know, one thinks one is prepared. I thought I was fully prepared. I had a child and I was 30 years old. I had a career. I was well settled. My husband was well settled. The ingredients were in place. But yet, nothing can replace the shocking psychological and spiritual transformation that inevitably comes about once one becomes that parent. You know, because you can't prepare for this. You don't know who this child is going to be. You don't know what unique challenges this child will bring. And you can only encounter this once you encounter it, which is when it's almost too late. However, this is where the shocking nature of this journey is precisely what allows it to be so spiritually transformative, you know, because it leaps you into the unknown. It forces you to shed the old skin. It catapults you into this new dimension of beingness and relatedness. And you're just forced, you know, you almost can't hold on. You have no will, you have no energy, you're exhausted. You have no resources to hold on to that old ego. That sense of I crumbles. And this is why parenting is such a powerful portal for spiritual growth, because there's this window when you're so tired, so exhausted, so in shock, and so in love, and so in touch with one's deep, deep capacity to give, that you are just catapulted out of that selfish, egoic state. And if we allow it, then we can, you know, enter into this on a long-term basis, allow this deep spiritual generativity to settle in and to stay in touch with us throughout our children's lives. So this is why, you know, preparing there is no real preparation. The only preparation one can ask for is to understand that this is going to change your life forever.
And Dr. Shefali, I think many of my questions have kind of come from the old paradigm of parenting thinking, like how this is going to affect the child, how the child is going to turn out in the world. But from the conscious parent standpoint, what is it really? Obviously, there's spiritual growth that happens if we allow it as parents. But what is the true essence of what you get out of being a parent, a conscious parent?
Well, you get that every interaction, especially that with one's child, is all about you. And not in a narcissistic and further egoistical way. You know, this is not to bolster the ego. This is to understand, wow, I am really in charge of my emotions, and I have the capacity to change the energy within myself and others around me. I cannot play the blame game. I cannot pretend to fix another. I must understand how it is I am deeply responsible for every moment in my life, and parenting allows one to see that on a moment-to-moment basis. So we are given the opportunity to see that we are immature in many aspects, but we can grow. And this is what life is about, to grow, to evolve, to let go of old patterns and to enter into a new state of being. So no other journey can do this quite as poignantly and pointedly as the parenting journey or any other really intimate relationship.
So if I get a puppy, can I have some of these same experiences?
I think so. I think it's that inner connectivity, you know, not as severe. You know, they won't hit you as hard, or they won't come one after the other as much as they do with a speaking, verbally astute being as our children become. But there are lessons inherent in every relationship, I do believe, if one is open to them.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, it's just about time to wrap up the show. So if you are interested in checking out the book, The Conscious Parent by Dr. Shefali, go to namastepublishing.com where you can pick it up on sale. There's a special launch price right now. I think it's $12.99 online, namastepublishing.com, or you can go November 3rd and get it in stores because that is the official launch date in bookstores. So, Dr. Shefali, is there anything that you would like to add as we close the show?
No, I just hope parents will be able to, you know, take in the message of the book and use it to transform their lives and their relationship with their children. This would be my greatest hope.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shefali. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, and good luck with the book. I know it's going to be so successful, and I just hope that it has an amazing impact on the planet.
Thank you so much, Marie.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So that was Dr. Shefali Sabri, author of The Conscious Parent. Again, if you would like more information about the book, you can go to namastepublishing.com, and her book is listed there on that website. And she is also on Facebook, so you can just look up Dr. Shefali or Google The Conscious Parent by Dr. Shefali online, and you will be able to find her and connect with her there. So I am Marie Bernard. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Coming up in just a few minutes is Scotty's Scenic Drive. And earlier on in the show, we were talking about how parents so often try to put their kids into this mold and kind of shove them into little boxes. And so that made me think of this song, the Little Boxes song. So I'm going to close the show with that. I hope that you have a fabulous weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Be well. Namaste.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university where they were put in boxes, and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martinis dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university where they are put in boxes, and they come out all the same. And the boys go into business and marry and raise a family in boxes.
boxes made of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. There's a pink one, and a green one, and a blue one, and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky.